Is your company growing or is it just getting busier? Every decision you make this week either builds your company's value or burns it down. I'm Norris Avazian, and thank you for tuning into the Service Crucible podcast, where we skip the off-the-shelf solutions and get straight to what works. I started my career running a truck, then led service teams across the country, from mom-and-pop shops to overseeing a 20-company division inside a home services private equity portfolio. This show is where we strip it all down so you can lead with clarity and build something that actually works. Let's go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Service Crucible podcast. I am your host and the founder of Service Crucible, Norris Avazian. And this week is a very special guest. It is my Greek brother from another mother. And his name is Michalis Venidis, but in Americanese, it is pronounced Michael Venidis. So Michael, Michalis, Mike, whatever you want to call him, he needs no introduction. He is the CEO of Rhino Marketing. That is this chief experience officer. And I believe in that wholeheartedly because experience really adds the wind beneath the wings of value and customer experience and culture. Mike, thanks for coming on to the show, man. I really appreciate you.
Norris, man, that's I've never had an introduction like that. I mean, I am proud. I am proud of my Greek heritage. But I must make one correction because it is the most awesome letter in the world. I am actually the CXO. Oh, and we laugh about it because our CEO is also Mike. It's Mike Wilson. And but, you know, experience, like we came up with the title because I've done just about everything over my 13-year tenure here, helping build Rhino Strategic Solutions into what it is today. And man, when we first met, what a genuine connection. So I couldn't be happier to be here with you and to try and provide value to all of your listeners.
I appreciate that. And I have no regrets in the mistake that I made about the letter EX, Epsilon, whatever we want to call it, right? It's Mike Venidis, and he's the chief experience officer.
You got it, man.
It's like, Mike, what I love about what you bring to the table for this show and the listeners is, there are so many different parts of the country, different types of businesses. You've met all kinds of personalities, characters, you have firsthand witness all kinds of dynamics and everything all across the industry and so many of the different trades. And that is a very, very rare and valuable insight to have. Because I believe it helps you navigate and get to the crux of a problem or a challenge and help people articulate what to do next. So in the context of that statement, what are some of the most common pitfalls that you've seen in your average, let's say, $2 to $5 million business that's trying to get to that $10 million kind of barrier? What's the most common thing that you've seen that you're like, man, I see it from a mile away?
Well, I think the first that comes to mind is just our general assumption of what happens in the world of digital marketing specifically. You know, I think that a lot of contractors have to see a farsighted approach. And they think that they do, but it sometimes is actually more short-sighted than they may realize. Mm. And I'll elaborate. I mean, being part of a digital marketing company, we hear it all the time. Like, I want leads, I want leads, I want leads. You know, but as I teach and as I've had the opportunity to get into, you know, the CSR room and to work with the operations of these home service companies, it's very commonly overlooked. Like, the easy thing to do is just continue to complain that you want more leads, you want more leads. But the truth is that the money is sometimes sitting right there, right in your building, with things that you can control.
Yeah.
Easy thing to do is try and put the pressure on other people to solve problems. But like, if you have things that you can control, you're going to get further faster. And that might sound like an excuse being the CXO of a digital marketing company, but I think it's my responsibility to explain that, when I deal with companies that are just entering digital marketing, it's so much better to perfect your operation and to use the free organic elements of marketing, things like Google business profiles, free SEO, like things you can do yourself without paying a cut to Google, and I think once you start to understand like the timing of how quickly leads can be generated or how reliant you can be on different marketing channels, I think that helps set you up for success as you start to expand and invest more, when you get outside of that $2 to $5 million range. How's that for an answer?
How about this? That resonates so loud and clear with me that if I was a Himalayan singing bowl, people in the next house over would hear the vibrations.
Well said.
Okay. I could not agree more. I mean, the very, very first thing that I touch when taking on a new client is looking at what kind of money and opportunity is on the table. And we put on the opportunist hat and we just aggressively attack every single dollar that's left behind, right? Leave no man behind, leave no dollar behind. And then all the low-hanging fruit, it's right under their noses. Couldn't agree more. I mean, if you need 100 calls, let's say you need 80, like 75 calls, okay, and you're booking at what do you call it, 75%. How many calls do you actually need to generate to book 75? And so the higher your booking efficiency, the handoff process, the seamlessness of how you are capturing your customers, showing empathy, selecting your job types, knowing what your call prioritization matrix is, being able to put the best tech on the right call, but not just that, that's all process driven. You're going to appreciate this because you know all about the human element. Hey, Mike, I am so sorry that you're having to go through that. We get this all the time, but you called the right place. I'm putting Norris on your call. He's been with us for 5 years and he's been plumbing for 10. He is going to take really, really good care of you. He's one of our customer favorites. All you see is his name in all our reviews. And if he doesn't exceed your expectations, call back and ask for me. I'm going to take care of it personally. Why can't we do that?
And think about what it does for you when you do that. I mean, here's the thing is I always tell people, if you have a problem and you don't know how to solve it, typically the first thing I do is I call somebody I know. And I've always asked consumers, why? Why do you do that? And then what I tend to find is they always say, because I trust them. And if you don't know somebody, if you don't have somebody, some people go, well, do you know anyone? Because their psyche is, well, I'll trust somebody that you trust because I trust you. And then let's say we take it a layer further. Why do we say Google it? When I present, I try to explain to people that Google has won the trust of the consumer. And there's a point to this, with the CSR team. But what I always try to explain is like it always comes back to trust. So I'm not saying like Google and digital marketing is essential simply because when you think about how your buyers buy, like that's essentially the second to third component that their minds go to. Well, I'll just go to Google and I'll ask it. So you have to play this game, whether you like it or not, because the consumers are, that's where they play. But when you talk about the CSR experience and that awesome role play example you just gave there, what I think a lot of companies miss too is the most powerful form of marketing, and that's called the compounding effect of customer service. You see, if you develop trust with me through answering a phone like that, and you have a team member come to the house and you perfect your operations and your processes and your workflow, right? You're going to create an experience that makes me feel good. And trust is created along the way. I talk to Andy Hobaika a lot about sales experiences, and he always tells people to stop selling and start helping. Because trust is built when you can tell that I'm genuinely having you in my best interests and looking out for you. But what we don't understand is we'd rather figure out how to throw money, at paid advertising than take the time and do the work to figure out how you perfect the process or an experience to an extent to where you're going to get compounded marketing. It's like if I was willing to bet that this field tech comes to the home or this comfort advisor goes to the home, and I know that by the time they leave, they will have this red carpet experience, then how hard is it to create some type of incentive or process? Hey, if you happen to tell two or three of your friends about the company, it results in X. I mean, do the math. Like, this is going to be far cheaper and far more valuable, and it compounds. I'm building little mini marketers that go out and talk about my company, and all of this is organic. So when I say things like, how do you create the lead versus chasing the lead, they're not the same thing. Okay, so you have to think about time because time is money, and then you need to really like work back. How do you create the same way, we send trucks on the road and we put our brand out there, and through truck wraps, truck rolls, all those things, like why can't I have a Norris walking the streets going, this experience, you have to experience this. Even if you don't have an air conditioning problem, like you should just call them just to let them walk through the home because there's nothing like it.
I
Like,
have heard people
awesome.
say stuff like that too. That's isn't that amazing?
It is, but like at the end of the day, how much love and care you put into your team, your process, that's what comes out at the end. Like if you don't do the work, you're not going to get the result.
Oh man. So the compounding effect, when you started talking about it towards the beginning, you reminded me of an episode I was watching of Chopped. And my distant cousin, Jeffrey Zakarian, I'm joking. He's just because he's Armenian, he's not my cousin. But he's like, he was one of the celebrity judges. You were taking it seriously for a second. And he's telling this contestant. And like it was one of the professional cook series, right? He's telling this contestant, everything is great. The presentation, the flavors, the seasoning that you used, but it's missing salt. And for that reason, we have to chop you. He's like, let me explain something to you. He's like, salt is the vehicle in which flavor is delivered. Think of it as a volume knob. That was such a cool moment for me to observe. And yeah, all the branding in the world, all the fancy tools in the world, your postcards, your uniforms, all of that. That's your seasoning, that's your spices. The salt is the human connection.
It
That's the
all
core.
matters. It
It
all
does.
matters. And how
Of
can you go
course.
deeper? How can you go deeper? That's what I always say is like the uniform is great. What else could you do on top of a uniform?
Pull in the trash cans, change out the light bulb, offer to bring some coffee or donuts on your way in.
But what about the uniform specifically? Because everybody talks about the uniform. So what is
Sure.
no one else talking about?
As far as
Like,
appearances, strictly speaking, as far as the uniform is concerned.
yeah, I think where I'm going with this is, I've grown close to Lou Habaika. He's almost like a mentor and a coach. We go to the same gym, and but I always notice because I obviously used his company when I had to replace my
Sure.
heat pump about a year or two ago, and the uniforms are there. But you know what else was there?
What?
Every one of them wears an American flag on the collar.
That's
It's a
cool.
pin.
I like that.
On the other side, every one of them wears a pin that says 100%. And when I had three guys all at the house at once, every single one of them had that pin. So it's like the little details. And this is like such a minute thing that it's probably even perceived as silly to some. But what I'm trying to get at with this is that to be the best, you have to go the distance. And to go the distance, you have to apply that same type of detail and effort at the layers and the depth in which your competition does not. And if it's something as silly as a little pin, that makes your techs feel a certain way on their collar, it all compounds and adds up. And that's what's necessary to create an experience that causes, your consumers, your prospects, your members to compound and be your marketing voice.
First job I ever had, Michael and Son Services, didn't know a thing about air conditioning. Introduced by my cousin's husband, I was trying to get another contracting job. He's like, "You should try air conditioning. You got a great personality. You could be a great salesperson." I was like, "Whatever, let's give it a try." He's like, "You got a nice shirt." I was like, "No, you're going to wear one of mine. I'm going to take it to the one."
Only kids knew how much money you could make doing that these days.
Oh my
You need
gosh,
to get it
back
back in
then.
schools, like more aggressively.
Like if I knew what I knew today, like I just found out, right? And I'm like second year, 30,000 a year college education. I just drop everything and just get in a truck. I
You
do
definitely
not
have less
care.
loans.
I'm telling you, man. What do you call it? So I'm expecting to, roll up on some random shop. We go to this glass building in Alexandria, Virginia, into the biggest glass office, and there is Bassem Mansour. And he's like, "This is the owner, Bassem." At that time, Michael and Son was at 150. And what do you call it? He already had his first jet. And this is before PE was a twinkle in anybody's eye, before there were Facebook groups and anything else. I was like, "Air conditioning did this?" And I'm just looking around. He's got a foosball table in the middle of his office. And he's like, "Hey, nice to meet you. Rob tells me a lot of nice things about you." He's like, "Do you know anything about air conditioning?" I'm impressed at this point. I'm like, what's going on here? Because I'm third generation trades welder fabricator. I was expecting, dirt and dust and metal shavings, stuff like that. I was like, "No, I really don't. But if I don't know something, I'm not going to stop until I'm very good, if not the best at it." And then we play foosball with one of his employees and my cousin-in-law, I guess. And I'm on his team. I didn't even have 20 bucks on me at that time, Mike. And he's like, "All right, you're on my team. I'll front you." So we play foosball. We beat the other team. And I'm like, "Hey, Bassem, I made you money before you even hired me." And he laughs at that. He calls his GM in Norfolk, Virginia. He's like, "Hey, I got a great candidate for you. Set him up with an interview. You're going to hire him, but I still want you to interview him." And, to start off as a maintenance tech, to kind of like learn everything, comfort advisor, rest was history. Every single manager at Michael and Son Services on their office door and embroidered onto their left chest right here, was 100/0. And we all had the flag. And it's what it meant was 100% accountable, 0% excuses. And that's what your story reminded me of. And
I love it.
I don't think it's silly, because we would do rugs, like doormats, every time we arrived. And we would have to flip the doormat around facing the customer when they opened the door. And later on, as I got experience, I was hitting my numbers and stuff like that. New guys would ride with me. And without fail, Mike, every single time I'd pull out the rug, they're like, "Are you serious? You're going to do that stupid thing? That's silly." I'm like, "Listen, I'll bet you lunch. I don't know how you're going to pay for it, because you need a job and you're riding along with me, but you're going to buy me lunch. I don't care if it's roller food from 7-Eleven. You're going to feed me." I said, "By our third call today, at least one customer is going to make a comment about this." Sure as hell, like the second call, customer said something. They're like, "Oh, that's really cool that you guys do that."
I mean, I love your mentality in that whole situation because I think where people need, leaders or confidants and, people to look up to, we talk about the one we could impact, not the group that we won't. You always see the upside. I think that's very important, to teach anybody, that learns anything from us is imagine going through, 3 to 5 homes a day, thinking about the one that is never going to stop talking about this than the four that won't care. They're two different head spaces. And when you teach people how to think a certain way, it unlocks doors. They start to perceive reality different. I mean, it's a domino effect. Like if I can see the positive in something, it changes the way that I think. And when I change the way that I think, it changes the way that I feel. And when I change the way that I feel, the aura and the radiance, the energy, the matter, right, that goes out into the world is felt and received differently. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're a who person or a how person. Connections still lead to opportunity. I mean, that's what your story reminds me of. Like, look at the power of one simple interaction on a foosball table, but the conversation and the energy that occurs is what causes people to start to look and say, this is somebody I like. Like, I want to bet on this person. I want to give them an opportunity. And it's honestly, at the beginning of the podcast, you had mentioned what a unique position it is to be in, at one of the largest digital marketing agencies in the nation, for the services, to be able to go all around and to have represented so many entrepreneurs and business owners and get that perspective. And if there's anything I've learned, the ones that have cashed out, had successful exits, that are protecting themselves because of their wealth, you know what they seem to appreciate more than anything?
What's that?
Character, good people, because life changes. Like, when you have access to everything that you've ever wanted, everybody wants from you. And what you tend to realize is, okay, everything has changed. It's like once you hit certain phases of your life, your mindset and what you appreciate and prioritize, it adapts, it changes. So it's kind of a long-winded way of saying nothing matters more, no matter what phase of your life you're in, than character. Your character and the work that you do on yourself will ultimately be the one unifier in all phases of your life that will always lead to good things. I can't remember where I read it. I think it was like I read a book, or maybe it was a podcast, and it talks about this concept of memory dividends. It was taught to me by Jason Buhler from Buhler Air
Oh,
Conditioning
amazing guy.
in Jackson, Florida. Yeah, Rhino, love him. He took us out on his boat. We went to the Jaguars game. I laughed because the Cardinals were playing at Jaguar Stadium, and there was all these college kids on a boat. So I happened to talk a little smack because they couldn't get me. I got a picture, man. I'll have to send it to you. It's just me with a selfie, and you see like 20 guys behind me finding things to throw at me. But anyways, the point of this is, like, with memory dividends, you have to understand, like, that you somehow, I think it said there's seven lives that you live in one life, and that the different times of your life, you value different things. And a common mistake that people make is they spend their entire life like trying to accumulate something like money, or time. And they don't really realize that at this point in their life, maybe it'd be their 50s, or at this point in their life, whether it's their 20s, that the value of these different things, they change. And we missed our prime opportunity to capitalize on something because we thought having more of it at a later point was going to be the best result. So it's a very detailed way of saying memory dividends is about being aware. It's about looking at this exact moment and saying, even though I will probably be far wealthier in 10 years, this is the moment I should be spending more money than I ever have in my entire life, because it probably won't have, like, I won't need or want as much. In 10 years, my values and appreciations will change. But character, man, that's the thing, is like, I'm 37, I'm old enough to know and young enough to like make a difference. I love this age because I'm old enough to know I should take advice and I can cut corners, but I'm also young enough to actually apply it. So it's such a beautiful time in life. And the things that I've been taught by so many amazing individuals, that are so successful throughout this country, that's one of the things that I'd love to give to your audience, is like, build whatever it is, go after whatever you're going after, but like, your character should always, always, always be number one. And listen, that's why Chris, Anna, and I, like, as we were building Rhino, giving back and being genuine, like, those are things that we never wavered on. And like, even when I do presentations and go speak, like, I give it all away and I just teach, because that's what being genuine and giving back is. And that's what embodies character. And we believe that it's a it's, you know, a compounding effect. So anyways, I'm going on a rant because I get passionate about this topic, but I'm gonna go ahead and stop there, man. I hope that you know,
Oh no,
audience enjoys
this
that.
was incredible. Like you are just making me think of so many things. For example, the character, the memory dividends, making the most of all the opportunities that are in front of you, and you know, truly amplifying, enhancing, and constantly evolving your the customer experience through the culture that you build. It reminds me of a conversation that I had with the leadership team over at Achaean. And you know, we were talking about taking on some initiatives, some stuff that they've never done before or they've tried to tackle, couldn't really you know, hit center mass with it. And I said, guys, instead of trying to force something to happen, because obviously you've tried it over and over again with your team, why don't we, with every action, every intention, every conversation, every customer experience, every training session, we intentionally build the environment in which what we want to happen comes into existence? Why don't we build the environment that allows something to grow, that's something that we want? And then once it does, then our obligation and our responsibility is tenfold, because now we must nurture and grow it further and allow it to survive. And that was a good shift moment for them when we were talking about that. And you know, we talked about dependent events and statistical fluctuations. That's one of my favorite things to talk about, from The Goal by Eli Goldratt. Fiction based off of firsthand experience of running manufacturing plants, but dependent events are something you can count on happening. Statistical fluctuations is something that is outside of your influence of not your influence of control, but are highly susceptible to change and not be consistent because of so many influencing factors, but you can influence it nonetheless. Human behavior in a company organizational setting is a statistical fluctuation, but you can turn some behavior into a dependent event when you create that buy-in. And where that buy-in can happen is if you align the belief system and the culture, three to five, six options, depending on the trade, every single time, setting expectations, genuinely going above and beyond, showing up on time for your training, being intentional with yourself, your coworkers, your spouse, your family, your customers, saying what you mean and doing what you say, and just, you know, holding everybody else to that same standard so everybody meets you halfway and everybody carries each other instead of each other's weight. It's a beautiful thing that comes together. And you know, like the main theme of where we started is, and where people can really benefit from your presence on the show is, I just really need to highlight this simple, straightforward, but yet the most true answer somebody could have given is, what are you really doing on that first touch? What are you doing in your call center? You know, why are your guys running four to five calls a day? Okay, so you're at 3 million. You've been at 3 million for 5 years. Running five calls a day. Now you're not going to try to slow them down, have a better experience, make more money, do more with less with three calls a day. Isn't that a thought?
Yeah, I think it's not just what you're doing, it's how, you know, like
Yeah.
me feel. Like that's the thing is I think sometimes we overcomplicate it. Like I believe in scripts. Like I understand like you need to give some kind of playbook, you know, and some type of rule of thumb, but I also believe that it's the number one way to create a disingenuous experience, like a, you know, an unauthentic experience. Like it's like when someone answers the phone and the way that they say it, I'm like, whoa, I feel positivity in that. Or like, oh man, there's like this comfort. It's about creating a feeling. It's not always what specifically is said. It's how, you know, not just from the words you choose, but like the tonality and yeah, you know, I mean, that's something that is a, it's interesting. You know, one thing we do here, because Rhino Strategic Solutions doesn't just do digital marketing. Like we try to see the lead all the way through. So
Yeah.
we have CSR coaching as well. And what makes it a very unique product, don't want to sound like a pitch, but like I'm proud of this because My great friend Liz Patel and I built this together. This is about 2 years ago at this point. What made it truly unique is we took the color code. Are you familiar with the color code?
Yes.
So this personality assessment, it started it within the walls of Rhino. We got it from AnyHour, and when they taught us about it, by the way, a yellow red here. What we did is we mastered the personality assessments, and then what we figured out is, okay, well, Liz knew everything she needed to know about CSR coaching. I knew just about everything that we need to know about digital marketing and just buyer psyche, like how do they think and how do they interact with like search engines like Google. And then what we did is we literally created a playbook for CSR coaches to just try and figure out what color they're getting. So one, if I was able to tell you that a pay-per-click ad came through and you could tell that in advance, which is possible, and a CSR coach was training the CSR rep what kind of call it was, they could literally shift and change how they handle the call based upon the odds of the personality type. But here's the hook. What they don't realize, it doesn't really actually matter if you get the personality type right. It doesn't matter if I'm assuming you're a red or I'm guessing you're a red because you came in a certain way. That's not actually what caused them to book better and caused the program to be so successful. What it did is it tapped into the psychological attitude of the CSR. And
Yes.
what the rep did is they started deep listening and they started looking and listening like between the lines. And because they were trying to figure out what the personality type was, they naturally came off more genuine. And the
Yep.
calls started to change and the booking rates started to skyrocket. So what we did is we found a way to like connect digital marketing and how people use different areas of Google and why they use it. Like a perfect example, it's like if I get hit with a targeted ad, when it says same day service and I have an emergency where, it's 120 and my air conditioner is broken. And that rep had the ability to understand that they were probably getting a red, which is a very quick to the point experience. Like, then why would I read, maybe 10 fields of information I need to gather
Get
when
straight to the
only
point.
five are essential? It causes
Yes.
them to be able to change their attitude and go, hey, just in this particular scenario, just grab these things. We'll get these other three or four later because we just want to get in the home. Like, if we can book it, we can always get this at another time. So, anyways, it's
Incredible
a neat
approach.
way to cause people
Incredible.
to just think deeper. And it's powerful stuff.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Big fan of color code. Nexstar, for me, I get so much influence from Nexstar. They
What
truly did
color
set
are
the
you,
gold
Norse?
standard.
You
I'm
gotta
a
tell your
blue.
color.
No, I'm a red blue. 51 red, 49 blue.
I can totally see that, man.
And like look at the shock on my face when you said yellow, seriously.
That's
I love, I do believe that the behavioral profiles and personality assessments, they're so insightful. If used as a tool and not a weapon, truly. And so I've used that. Nexstar sets the gold standard. They've done so much, and they've done it with like any hours Nexstar. So it helps you navigate, and then you put your placards on your doors and on your desks, and people can they know how to approach you. And
Totally.
so
I love what
throughout
Nextstar is doing. I will say that. Like, I
yeah.
actually, there even may be a chance. I may be actually at the super meeting later this year. I might be speaking there. So that would be really cool. I've never been.
Oh, you're gonna love it, man. It's a different energy.
Yeah, I hear it's a great event.
For me, I believe they revolutionized tech coaching. Nobody comes close to touching the six steps, in my opinion. The core five service system that I have at Service Crucible is heavily influenced by it, but I was like, man, I gotta create something that pays tribute but doesn't feel like a copy. I was able to pull that off. And on the personality assessment side, well, the years that I like ran multi-location enterprises, worked on the P side, I got introduced to Culture Index and then Predictive Index. Some of the larger companies at Wrench Group use Predictive Index. So fast forward, I've done maybe 5,000 assessments and
Oh,
got
wow.
certified through both. And I created this matrix of grading the behavioral profiles to every position in home services. And you can, but see, that's using it like a weapon. And so at PI, by the way, it's crazy when I found out, but I'm one of the very few people in the entire country with this kind of home services background that's a part predictive index partner. And I think people don't use it enough. Some owners just don't believe in it, but that's because, hey, the same reason your plumbers are selling tank water heaters instead of tankless, because they don't believe in tankless until you send them to the training. And when they do, guess what? Your tankless sales go up. In PI, like there's 17 profiles. It's amazing stuff with four dots. Like somebody takes it in less than 10 minutes, they're done. And I'm just reading dots. I'm not reading the verbiage that spits out. I've been accused of sorcery and witchcraft and stalking. It's insane the reactions that I get. But it's not just a personality assessment. My biggest takeaway from them is head, heart, briefcase. You'll find out what's in the head with the behavioral assessment, but you got to find out what's in the heart, because they got to be woven into the fabric of your culture, yet be the strong and amazing individuals that they are. And in the briefcase, head and heart's a great fit, but briefcases can tell you exactly where and how effectively they're going to fit. Are they going to be able to run solo in the truck, or are they going to have to be a helper for a couple of years or 6 months, or go through your certification courses, continue tech school? And pair it with that, with your ATS, your candidate tracking. Always, always be obsessively recruiting. Never stagnate in your recruiting efforts. Top grade. Nobody top grades. It's insane to me, Mike. I was on with Jonathan Bannister. He's like, "How the hell did you do 4 to 12 million in 12 months?" And I was like, "Yeah, with 4.6% marketing budget, by the way." And I said it was people. I said it was people. I recycled over 80% of the personnel leading up to the 12 months in 2021, because I came in Q4 of the previous year, moved a few people around, recruited obsessively. Stole this star of a girl from the Dodge dealership that was moving 20 units a month. She was so scared to interview with somebody else that we had to take lunch in the next city over so nobody would know that she was interviewing. And
I
like
love
she
it.
fumbled for like the first 4 months, and I was like, "I promise you, month six, it's gonna click in. I personally am investing. I promise you, you're gonna be amazing. I see you, I believe in you. You're gonna be selling HVAC systems left and right." Sure enough, like she's averaging 2.5, 3 million a year.
Isn't
Who
that
knows?
interesting how that works, though? I mean,
Yeah.
that's leadership at its finest. And listen, I'm a product of that. Like my mentors believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And they believed in me so much that like it almost reprogrammed my mind to believe in myself. What I love about your story that I'm hearing is like you have an eye and a talent and a gift for knowing when you find good character and, good people, and you are more interested in figuring out a system to build off of a great foundation, knowing that there may be a couple of, rocky months in the beginning. But what you're doing is you see the long-term investment. Like you're being farsighted and you understand the strategy that is ultimately going to win in the long run. Because you're building a system based upon character, right? Like just like we talked about earlier. I will say this, Norris. There's a quote that I love. I'm a quote guy, I'm a book guy, and it's one that I say all the time, and I'll never ever stop saying this because it reframes your mind. The work works on you more than you work on it. And when you think about that concept, we come to work and we look at it as a job, but imagine if we reframed our minds to understand what the job builds within us.
Understand the game. Look at the peripherals.
You get good
Look for
people,
the patterns. Oh my gosh.
great people with great structure and foundation and good character that may not know the skill. I mean, this is simply just hiring for character over skill set. That's really like, we're getting into the details of the differences, but in reality, like this is the difference. Like when you get good character, people who understand like the value of loyalty, 13 years of loyalty. I'm only in the seat that I'm in, Norris, because I never quit. It doesn't mean there's not like 10 better people that could be in this position, but I got here because I just never quit. And I learned and I learned and I learned and I learned. There's probably somebody out there more qualified, but you can have all the skill in the world. If you don't have longevity, if you don't have, the dedication, the persistence, this is where skill falls short. Like it's basically all long sight versus short sight. And this is just a very detailed way of saying, like, I commend you, man, because like
Thank
if you
you.
know how to go in and get key players and take a company, from 4 to 12 that fast, simply by just having an eye for character and people and knowing that they're going to do well someplace and really making the bet on the people versus, we'll call it the money. Because
Sure.
I do feel like I see that, like a lot of people aren't going with, 4.6% marketing budgets. They're going higher, anywhere from 7 to 12. I mean, I've seen crazy stuff even more than that, but it's always a money bet. Like imagine if you were doing the people bet, because I was bet on. I didn't know anything when I started this company. I didn't even know what SEO was. But when you find people with character and you believe in them and you bet on them, man,
Odds are in your favor.
they turn into.
No, I couldn't agree more, man. It really is. It does fall down to people. I don't care what people say. I mean, just recently I onboarded a new member, and they're going through some significant challenges with personnel. They're trying to dip their feet into residential service, get away from commercial, and they're getting the lip service, they're getting a grin screwed substitute for the F word on the second word. They say, yeah, we're gonna do this. Yeah, we've got great experience on the service side. We just need calls and everything else. And they turn around and just they don't do anything. And I helped them make the difficult decision of parting ways, took some convincing, but then after they got burned a few more times, they made that decision. Then they asked me, like, Norris, like, given our position, if you were in our position, what would you do? Would you wait, and would you just hire anybody, or would you wait? And I look straight into the camera, and they're like, she's a very strong character, very intelligent, very good businesswoman. I look straight into the camera, and I said, I will let the building burn around me before I brought the wrong person into the business. And she's like, well, it's easy for you to say, you're not running a business right now. I said, I've looked at 10 times the potential EBITDA loss and attrition. And if I was in that position and I knew about yours, I would swap with you in a heartbeat. She's like, okay, fair enough.
What are some of
And
the things you do to keep those people happy? Like your good players, because especially when they're in the thick of it, because that's what happens, right? Is like you're trying to find the right player, and you're trying to offset because life is a little bit harder for your team, in those moments where they might be a little short-handed. Like, do you have any practical things or strategies that you do to help other leaders listening to this podcast, like know how to really like get those people, help them stay motivated and embrace the suck? And like, what does that look like for you?
Instead of thinking or speaking about the standard, set the standard. Lead by example. Go into the field. Like,
Get in there and do the work with them.
get in there, do the work. You want the quickest pathway to building an unbreakable culture? Go and find out what your field level relevancy is, what your customer sees about you, what you feel about your customers and their perception of you.
I love that. I mean, I feel that's the same way because I very much get into the weeds with my team. I'm always in the trenches. Like I live a life on the record. Like if we have contractors or clients that are unhappy, like I make myself accessible on social media and I don't run away from the difficult call outs. But there's one thing that I always ask myself, and it's just the way my mind ticks. Like, how do I go deeper? Every time I'm like, how do I get one layer beneath the surface? Because the deeper I go beneath all of the layers, I almost see it as a radius, right? Like if I could get to the core of something, I have this radial impact on all components.
Seek positive conflict.
Yeah, you know, and I think one thing that always really resonated with me was just understanding what my people want. But like more than work. Listen, I want you to go make all the money in the world as a comfort advisor. But why do you want it? Do you just want all the money in the world? And they might not always know the answers, but like I do think, you know, and some people believe workplaces should be no emotion, black and white. And I do think that that is essential in like a lot of processes and that there are like difficult conversations where you have to strip that out. But I'll be the first to admit, like I'm a passionate, emotional guy. That's both a strength and a weakness if you don't contain it, control it, use it strategically. But what I find is that if I get in front of my people and I express interest of what your three goals are, and you can give them to me, and I'm constantly trying to rewire how what we're doing as an organization is going to help you obtain that. And I don't just ask once and I check in and go, hey, how's your pace? Is what we're doing here helping you get to that? Like that's one thing that I always do, but I always also kind of work myself backwards into this fact of like, hey, for those of you that don't know those three goals, let's do the work. Let's do the life plan. You ever done a life plan? Let me show you how to do that so you can get to the
That's the one-on-ones. That's the 100-day plans.
Absolutely,
And
man.
your weekly one-on-ones check in on that.
Do the work on the people. The people will do the work on the business.
Man, I had a tech. This tech was an installer. He was around for 2 years. He kept asking for a chance to run service. Kept getting ignored. We'll sit down, we'll talk about it. I'm the new GM in town. He's like, hey, Norris, I really, really want to take a shot at being a service tech. I said, okay. I was like, it's busy right now. I got to upgrade a few of the guys, but the days that you don't have installs, like I'll put a call or two on you. You run your install truck out there. I want you to follow the process. I want you to call me before and after. We're going to pregame and debrief. And then we're going to pass this off to your service manager, TJ. Fast forward, he was busting out about 30,000 to 35,000 a month in IAQ sales. Number one flipping tech, 85% plus close rate behind all of his flip leads. Whether it was a warm handoff or a next day set, sometimes when I couldn't get a comfort advisor there in time, I would just quote over the phone and we'd close the highest ticket. 5-star reviews galore. And then he leaves a couple of years after I was gone. Ends at 1 hour, and he got like 4 national awards for leading IAQ service and tech flip sales. And now he's with I can't give the company name, but he's still in the panhandle. And it's,
Good for
you
him.
know, like how many people have stars right in front of them?
And they just don't see it lit
Why
up.
would look inward, right? Just stop looking outward. See what you have within.
It makes me think about too, like a lot of the times that some of these comfort advisors, these field techs, like they miss out on the upsell. I mean, I can tell you when I purchased my heat pump. All they had to do is just go into the attic. I had like a gaping hole in the ductwork. The home was old, an easy extra $3,000 of ductwork, literally just like that, you know? Like just do the additional things and you find the additional opportunities. It makes me think like that, and that's more transactional, but like when I think about the story you're sharing and how you know, these people go on to do incredible things, it's because you're doing the additional things that allow them to get to that. Like you'll never find the gold if you don't search for it, you know? So
Like earlier what you said, I think this is an amazing point to bring up, man. You're making me remember all the good stuff, man. Like I'm going to call the Vanitas sessions the greatest hits because you just make me just think about all the greatest hits. So it's like some of the strongest impressions that I had from people and some of the best teams and dynamics that I've worked in. Is two things were always brought up when the relationship was started, and it was such a pivotal, influential moment for me. The first question is they ask, what is your favorite and most preferred method of communication? Email, text, phone call, instant message. I was like, wow. Yeah, hit me up on Teams or Slack. That's my favorite way during office hours. After office hours, text. And if I didn't volunteer that, they would have asked, okay, what's like a secondary way to get a hold of you if it's an emergency, right? And then the second thing that I'm asked, and now like I like to ask, is what is your preferred style of learning for maximum retention? Is it listening to the books, reading the books, taking notes? Are you visual? And you know, we need to have that inward look within our organizations when we're driving an initiative and trying to get people on the same page to hit a target. It just improves so much.
It really does. It really does.
Man, Mike, I could talk to you for hours. The people want to get in touch. I mean, everybody knows your face. Like, they should just change the logo and put your smiling face on the hats. I'm totally
That's
by
funny.
that. But like, how do people find you? And if they want to get in touch, how do they get in touch? Social
Yeah,
media.
I mean, I'm on all social media platforms. I've actually recently made a very big effort to be easier to be found. Like, it's all just my name. If you do a search for my last name, I'll pop up everywhere. But I find myself doing the majority of like my industry communication on Facebook. For people that don't have that, like I'm all over LinkedIn, literally every social media channel you can think of, I'm probably there. Listen, when I tell you I want to help, I mean it. Like, if anybody that does follow me or add me, you'll see it. Like, I have a process. Every single morning I'm trying to post content that either inspires someone, motivates someone, or helps somebody like just go about the day with a good headspace and just try to be a better human being, you know? At the end of the day, my calling is to help everybody appreciate and really like truly enjoy life. Because that was almost taken from me, you know? I mean, everybody knows my story. And I just really, really, really think like, you know, I've got to do some of God's work. So yeah, guys, reach out. Like, I hope that you can sense how honest I'm being when I say reach out. I'd love to get to know you or hear from you and hear your general thoughts.
Amazing. Mike, nothing but gratitude and just absolute joy having you on the show. Thank you so much. Time is one of the most valuable things that we have. So thank you for yours. Would love to have you on again and have you come and talk to the members and what do you
Just
call
say
it?
when.
Yeah, 100. Yeah, without doubt. I'm not going to
As Chris
hesitate.
always says, man, don't talk about it, be about it. Just say when. I'm there.
Yeah. Sounds good, man. Well, you take care of yourself and have an amazing rest of your day, brother.
Cheers, man. Thanks for having me.